Did you know how peaceful it was when I learned out what really happens when a person dies? And that my godmother is not in heaven looking down at Joseph doing stuff he should not be doing. That's peaceful to know, isn't it? That's comforting to know, isn't it? It's comforting to know that when I was taught about a quote-unquote secret rapture, that my parents would not be vanished poof in a blink of an eye. And I'll be stuck in the back of the station wagon driving down the street with no license. That's comforting, brothers and sisters. That's comforting. Y'all not with me? That's comforting. It's comforting to know that when you're sitting and hearing a good Baptist message, that I'm not going to burn up for a bazillion, trillion, scoodoo, billions, gavillion years, and on 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 and on. And never, ever, ever, as they put it, get a drink of water as Satan dangles it in my face. It's comforting to know that the devil is going to get his just desserts in the end and that he's not in charge of hell. Amen? Brothers and sisters, the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you, see, it'll set free your peace. Because to live in error is stressful, it's painful, and it's hurtful. And there is no peace for the wicked, said the Lord thy God. Amen? You see, Jesus wants us to learn something about peace. He wants us to know something. And we're going to search the scriptures today, and I hope you're ready, and I hope we can get through this, and I pray that the Lord anoints my mind. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus. Actually, let's go to Psalm first. Psalm 77 and verse 13. Peace. Peace. Psalm 77 and verse 13. We know this by heart, don't we? Psalm 77 and verse 13. I said we know this one by heart, don't we? Psalm 77, 13. I'll start it off, you can finish it. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Today's message is entitled, The Peace Offering. The Peace Offering. You're turning now to the book of Leviticus, chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. And I hope you're taking notes for those of you who are, because there's going to be some key points for you to write down. Leviticus chapter 3, and let's start in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 3, and let's start in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The word of God says, and if his oblation, now we're talking about the peace offering in connection with the sanctuary service, okay? So Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, did you get it? It says, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Now, we know who this represents. Amen. For Jesus Christ is the Lamb without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle. Verse 2, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle or the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covereth the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards. So here we see, brothers and sisters, that we understand that the individual had to place their hands on the head of that lamb, of that sacrifice. Amen. Turning to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 21. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21. And we're going to be coming back to Leviticus chapter 7. So you can keep a bookmark there. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 21. The word of God says, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So we understand that we confess our sins upon the head of this animal in this context, symbolic of us confessing and giving our sins to none other than who? Jesus himself. But Christ does not want us just to confess our sins, amen? He wants us to forsake them. Let's find out where that's at. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Remember, we are talking about the peace offering because Jesus wants to give us peace, but he also shows us steps on how to receive that peace. And the first step to receiving that peace we just read is in the very beginning of our sanctuary experience. The very beginning. And it starts with confessing our sins and, let's read, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. It says, but whosoever confesseth, and the next word, family, forsaketh them shall have what? Mercy. So God not only wants us to confess, and there are a lot of individuals, sincere as they may be, that say, you know what, I know God forgives me, I'll change one day. No. Not one day, today. Amen? Make up in our mind to confess and forsake now. Never parlay, never go back and forth, never play ping pong with the devil because he cheats. Okay, so don't play ping pong with him. He cheats. He does not play fair. He doesn't play fair. If we read it in the Word of God, the hardest thing we have to do is, guess what? Believe it. Is believe it. He says, let's read that over one more time. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what? Shall have mercy. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 7. We're learning about this peace offering, remember? Back to Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. And there was something that we needed to catch in connection with this peace offering. Leviticus chapter 7, and we want verse 3 over one more time. It says, and he shall offer it, this is speaking of the peace offering, he shall offer it all, the, what's the next word? Fat thereof, the rump and the fat that covereth the inwards. So he is to offer the fat. Now, what is this fat in connection with the peace offering that the individual had to offer up? Let's find out. Let's go to the book of Psalm. Let's go to Psalm. Psalms 37 and verse 20. Psalm 37 and verse 20. The Bible says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The Bible says the enemies of the Lord shall be like the what? The fat of the lamb. Brothers and sisters, the fat in the Bible that was burned up on the enemy, from the lamb, represented sin. I don't think you get this. Family, this is what's amazing. The Bible is clear, and it actually tells us that the fat or the sin belongs to God. It's mine. Give it to me. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? God says the sin is mine. Give it to me. But how many people still hold on to it? Or they feel like they can't give it up? Why does God take ownership for our sins, family? Wow. Let's turn there. Let's go to Leviticus real quick. Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 16. Leviticus chapter 3. And In verse 16, the Bible says, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. I can't believe nobody said amen to that. You must not be getting it. You must not be getting it. What does fat represent again? God said, it's mine. Give it to me. That's profound, family. Say it again, brother. He bought it. I paid for it. Give it to me. Give it to me. But God, I can't give it up. Give it to me. It's mine. Give it to me. It's mine. So connected with this peace offering is giving God that sin that we can't stand. Because when sin is lifted off your shoulders, great peace comes. Amen? Great peace comes. That's a peace offering, isn't it? God, you mean you want this thing that's bothering me that I can't stand, that I wrestle with, that I've been lied to and said I can't give up, that I'll have to live with this for the rest of my life? I want it. Give it to me. But God, I no ifs, ands, or buts. It belongs to me. What'd you say, Brother Jim? I paid for it. I paid for it. What price did he pay? Anybody wallets fatter than God's? You can say no. No. Because the price that he paid for our sins, guess what? I'm going to give him mine. Do you want to give him yours? Let's not hold on to it, brothers and sisters. We're living in a world where peace is fastly flying away, is it not? Scratch that. We're in a church where peace appears to be flying away. And I don't know about you, family, but I need my peace. Scratch that. I need his peace. I need his peace. Let's continue. The fat. We're in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 real fast. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We know this verse too, Romans 12 and verse 1, one of my favorites. Romans 12, 1, and we always connect verse 2 with it as well. Romans 12 and verse 1. The word of God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that not only fat, but ye present your bodies a living what? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I love the fact that the Apostle Paul put there that this is a reasonable service. Because when we sit in reason, my brother Jim said he had already paid for it. He said he'd already paid for it. It's his. It's reasonable for me to give it to him. Amen? That's reasonable. But Lord, why do I hold on to it? Sin will cause you to hang on to sin. What do I mean? If it belongs to God and I take it, is that stealing? And the Bible says very clearly, thou shalt not finish it. Thou shalt not steal. So you mean even holding on to my sins, I'm stealing from God? Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope somebody praying for me right now. I hope none of this is flying over your heads. If it is, raise your hand up, grab it, and pull it back down. Because there are some themes in the Word of God that you can think on until Jesus comes. And you will never exhaust the understanding of it. Amen? You will never exhaust the understanding of it. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Psalm 139, 23. Praise the Lord for this verse. Psalm 139 and verse 23. This is another one. Tried to give you some familiar ones real quick. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Let's get there. You know what I love about God? As long as we got breath in our lungs, he is fighting to save us. Let's not give up on God, brothers and sisters. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Psalm 139 and verse 23. The word of God says, are we there? I'm waiting. Some people said, hold on. All right, amen. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my what? Thoughts. Oh, brothers and sisters, you see, Laodicea does not know their condition. Amen. I preached a sermon this morning on shame. I got like five sermons on shame, and all of them are different. But Laodicea thinks they're okay. God, you don't need to search me. I'm cool. It's all right. You know, who in here can remember very vividly what happened in 9/11? Does that date ring a bell? If you can remember where you were specifically, raise your hand. I know exactly where I was. There are some of you who are older than me who can remember when JFK was assassinated, because that was a big deal. But I say that, brothers and sisters, to say this. When something that important sticks in your mind, it stays there, and you don't forget it. And I remember I was working graveyard, and I got off graveyard. It was like I hadn't been off graveyard yet, and people were coming, and they were telling me, they were saying, Joseph, did you hear what's going on with the World Trade Centers and this and that and this and that? And I was like, no, and I was with a friend of mine, and we turned on the radio and we started listening. And the first thing we started talking about was, why didn't they search those men? Why didn't they search those men? Why didn't they search them? What happened to the investigation and the metal detectors? You and I both know, because of that event, what has happened to the security in airports over that since that time? Brothers and sisters, you can't take a pack of gum or a bottle of water. How is it that the world can be wiser than us? You can't trust yourself. You can't trust yourself. If you think 9/11 was bad, you haven't seen a Joseph separated from Christ. We need to ask God constantly, Lord, search me. Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there be any wickedness in me. Because that could be the reason I don't have any peace. Are you with me? That could be the specific reason I don't have any peace. You know, something that really, we got to keep going. I don't have time. Let's go to Leviticus, back to Leviticus chapter 7, talking about the peace offering one more time. Leviticus chapter 7. Back to Leviticus chapter 7. What's interesting is when I was a little boy, the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers, those books would put me to sleep. They would put me to sleep. Not anymore, praise the Lord. All right, Leviticus chapter 7. And this time we're going to read verses 30 and 31, continually talking about the peace offering. Because I don't know about you, I want peace. If you want peace, say amen. Leviticus chapter 7, we want verses 30 and 31 this time. The word of God says, we'll start in verse 29. We'll start in verse 29. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offering. It says, his own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat, so we know about the fat, right? But look at what it adds to it. It says, the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be weighed for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his son's. So we learn that we are to bring a peace offering. We learn that the fat is supposed to be burned. But the Bible also says, bring the what? The breast. But look at what it said about it. Reading over verse 30. His own hand shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast it shall he bring. The breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. I want you to get this. So the fat was supposed to be burned up, right? Now the fat represents what? Come on, class. Represents sin. But he says the breast, does that get burned up? No, so there's something symbolic there that I need to grasp, amen? Because it has to do with my peace. Let's look at it a little bit further. Are you ready? Let's go to Isaiah. Actually, not Isaiah. Lord help. 1 John. 1 John. 1 John, real quick, chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The high priest. Who's our high priest? Let's read that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The word of God says, but if we walk in the light as he is, are we there? All right. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So Jesus Christ is our high priest. Amen. He is our mediator. Let's turn real quick now to, we're in Leviticus 7 and verse 30. Give me 1 second. Let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And what we want is verses 23 through 25. John chapter 13. Verses 23 through 25, because the priest was to burn the fat, but he was supposed to keep the breast. I want you to think, class, in the Bible, give me another name for the word breast. Praise the Lord. What did you say, brother? Brother Mario said bosom. Amen. Let's go. John chapter 13, and let's look at verses 23 through 25. John 13, 23 through 25. The word of God says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Amen? Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? What the breast represents, brothers and sisters, is the heart. You see, the fat is supposed to, the sin is supposed to be burned up, but God wants our heart. God wants our heart. You see, the priest, God says, that breast, that heart belongs to me. Give it to me. I want it. Isn't that amazing? Because all the trouble is in the what? It's in the heart. The Bible says, we already know, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 31, verse 31, this shall be the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their minds, in their hearts. God is in the business of transformation and giving peace. Amen. That's why the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. Brothers and sisters, I want peace in my life. Turning to Isaiah chapter 40, let's get there. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's wake up, class. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, and we want verse 11. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. I love this verse. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Please, let's get there. Isaiah 40, verse 11. The Bible says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his... Wow. And shall gently lead those that are with young. God wants to... Lord, have mercy. Did you know that Jesus carries us on his heart, brothers and sisters? All you have to do is look at Calvary. There is no sin. There is no habit. There is no situation that we have, that we're tied in, that we're wrapped in, that God has not already paid for and said, give it to me. Give it to me. But yet we play with it. And half the time it's because we do listen to the lies of the enemy, who makes it seem like we can't give it up. When, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, yes, we can. In Jesus' name, we can. We can. When I first went out to play football, I did it for my father. I did it for my father. I first started watching it when I was, I was probably 11, 12 years old. First Super Bowl I ever saw was the Giants and Buffalo Bills. I became a Buffalo Bill fan after that, even though they lost. Thank you, brother. Because we went on to lose 4 in a row. And it was heartbreaking for me at a young age. We were good, but we were terrible. We would make it to the big game, but we would always lose. Well, brothers and sisters, when I would, the first time I wanted to play football, I was scared to death. I was scared to death. I thought, surely this little black man gonna get broke in half. I'm gonna be snapped like in two. I mean, this is not flag football, brothers and sisters. You put on a helmet for a reason. I wasn't ignorant. You put on a helmet, you put on shoulder pads, you put on thigh pads, you put on shin pads, you put on knee pads. You put on elbow guards. You put a mouthpiece in because your teeth could get busted out. You put a chin strap on because your chin could get busted. And I remember when I first put it on, I was extremely nervous. But you know what calmed me down? My dad. All I could hear was his voice saying, "Joseph, go get him, son. Joseph, go get him, son. Don't be scared. Go get him, son." And because I didn't want to disappoint the father, God is good, is he not? This young man went on to score 3 scary touchdowns because I was running for my life from them people. But brothers and sisters, my motivation was the voice of my father. We need to wake up every morning hearing God say, "Give it to me. Give it to me. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." You see, because a lot of times, brothers and sisters, the sin that we hold on to is, in a lot of ways, who we are. You know what I'm saying? And so we're saying, if I give you this, I'm giving you all of me. God says, good, that's what I want. Because when we look at the peace offering, he already asked for the fat, which is the sin, but he also asked for the breast, which represents our what? Come on, class. Our hearts. You're paying attention. Praise the Lord. Which is also our heart. Which is our heart. I mean, my whole time in sports, there was always a nervousness. There was always a fearfulness there. But if I could just hear my dad saying something, and God forbid if my mom said something, that means there's a war going on. Because you get mama figures to say, "Y'all better leave my baby alone." I knew nobody can mess with me. She'll get to tossing football players up in the stands. I don't care how big they are. If I can have that much confidence in my earthly mother and father, guess what? You best believe if I hear my God through his words speaking to me, I'm going to believe it. And no devil in hell can stop me. You with me, family? Amen. Amen. Going back to Leviticus chapter 7, there's another portion to this peace offering. Let's get there, please. Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. I pray that you go home and you read about this peace offering because you can break it down. We're going to break it down as much as I can, brothers and sisters. Leviticus chapter 7, as much as God allows and speaks to me. Leviticus chapter 7. We want to read verse 32 and 33 this time, all right? Leviticus chapter 7, verse 32 and 33. Here we go. The Bible says, "And the right shoulder," and the right shoulder, look at that. It says, "And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifice of your peace offering." So here we have another portion. The Bible says we are to give God our what? Shoulder. He already has the fat, the sin. He wants the heart. Now he wants the shoulder. That's symbolic too, don't you think? Because this is a peace offering. We're learning how to get, guess what? Peace. What is this? What is this shoulder representative of? Let's go. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's get there. Isaiah chapter 9. We want verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. What does this shoulder represent? Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We love this verse during Christmas time. I'm going to give it to you early. People putting up Christmas decorations early, I can give you this verse early. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." With a title like that, is there anything he can't do? Can I read that one more time? Is that all right with y'all? Let me read it one more time. I like that one. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Brothers and sisters, the government is your will, your life. God is saying, your ways, your plans belong to me. You see that? The shoulder, in other words, my way, my directions, I need to give them to God. Amen? I need to offer up my plans for this day. I need to give them to God. I need to give my plans, the shoulder, to God. I need to give my bosom, the breast, the heart, to God. I need to give my fat, my sin, to God. Are you getting the theme of the peace offering? Isn't it something that he will be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? And the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, my life's directions are on the shoulders of my Savior. That means as long as I am marching in the army of the Lord, no devil in hell can take me out unless God permits it. Because we are a well-oiled machine in the army of the Lord. Amen? Amen? And we march on to glory and to victory. There's something else, brothers and sisters, that we need to look at in connection with the peace offering. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we want verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 3. One more item. The word of God says, "And this shall be the priest due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be an ox or sheep, and they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks." Actually, we got two more things, because I just looked at that. The two cheeks and the, what is the next word? The maw. Does anybody know what a maw is, or a mar? What is that? That word is stomach. Lord have mercy. Somebody just said, "Is Brother Figures going to go there?" Yes, we're going to go here. The stomach belongs to God. Brothers and sisters, it means more than that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real fast. Let's get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 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 The word of God says, are we there? Amen? I need you to move quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. I'll give you some time to get there. So we are to give the maw. And what does that word mean? The stomach. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted also." The maw, brothers and sisters, represents not only the appetites, but appetite and passion. Are you with me? We're talking about the peace offering, remember? We're talking about what we are to surrender to God that we may have peace. And God says, I want your appetite and I want your passions. You know, sometimes you can eat the wrong thing and you won't have no peace at night when you try to go to sleep. Am I telling the truth? Mm-hmm. True story. This happened, I believe it was yesterday, day before yesterday. Was it the Mandarins? It was the day before yesterday. Now, those of you who are close to me know I like ambrosia salad. Some of you are laughing right now because you know I must show temperance in the face of ambrosia. I'm not sure who invented ambrosia. I hope it was the Lord, but it just tempts me, brothers and sisters. Pray for a brother. So I want to make some ambrosia salad, and there's a specific way that we make it. And so, brother, I like pineapples. Anybody else like pineapples? Praise the Lord. High in fiber. If you can't go to the bathroom, your health nugget, eat a lot of pineapple. So I got the pineapples. Kent got some canned pineapples, organic. Give a plug to Nature's Food Market. For those of you who are watching via live stream, go to Nature's Food Market. On Monday, they're not there right now, so Monday. And I had the pineapples, and I hadn't eaten. So brother was hungry. I'm not sure if I had. I was hungry. I know that much. And so I was going to eat some ambrosia. So I'm making my own. I got the pineapples. I drain it, and I put them in a bowl. Booyah. I need the mandarins to go with it. So I'm up in the cabinet, and I can't find them. My wife says, babe, there's some outside in the cabinet. I'm like, all right, cool. I go out, got the can of mandarins. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I pop it. Pop the top on that can, let the juice out, put it in there. Ooh, got to get the coconut. Throw the coconut in there. Ha, the whipped cream. I had to mix that in my ambrosia salad. Brothers and sisters, when I sat down to eat, I got a spoonful, and something didn't taste 100%. But it was very faint, so I kept eating. You know, it was like maybe that was just the first bite. So I kept eating. I got bite number two. It changed a little bit. It was a little bit better. Got bite number three, and my mind was like, when you gonna stop? I took bite number four, and that was all she wrote. It was the most rankest. Long story short, the mandarins had turned, and they had begun to, they actually started like fermenting. It was literally like alcohol. My wife could testify. My head started pounding. I was dizzy. I said, Lord, is this what the Bible means when it says those that sit and staring at the bottle? I was like, this is what it feels like to be. I don't want this. For the rest of the day, my wife can tell you, my head, I had a hangover from eating mandarins, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, what you eat, your passions, your appetite, play a big deal in your spiritual growth and in your salvation. Amen? Let's look at this a little bit further. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. This verse we know. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. I'm warning you, I have not even looked at the clock, but I'll stop when I stop. I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 3. Don't worry, we're getting close. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We want verses 17 through 19. Sorry about that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. The Bible says, now because I desire a gift. Chapter 3. Here we go. It says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, and listen to what he says, many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their finisher? Belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind what kind of things? Earthly things. You see, brothers and sisters, God wants our passions and our appetites. God wants us to be in complete control, amen? He wants us to be thinking straight and clear. Now, don't get me wrong, we all are tested on the point of control, are we not? And it is at those moments when it's very intense that we must offer our bodies a living sacrifice so that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can come in. Amen. The Bible says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him. Amen. And so when we need the Comforter, guess what? We can have it. We can have it. Lastly, I'm going to give you this one for free because it just popped in my head and we don't have time. It said that he was to offer the cheeks, the two cheeks. Amen. What does the Bible have to say about the two cheeks, brothers and sisters? Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, and I believe it's verse 6. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. If I'm wrong, someone can please help me. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. No, this is it. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let's get there, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. The word of God says, I gave my back to the smiters. Does anybody know who we're talking about right now? I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame. And what? Didn't I tell you I preached four or five sermons, I got on shame? I love God's word, brothers and sisters. This is the first time I'm seeing this one. What does God mean when he wants the cheeks? Think of everything we just talked about and what you just read. Look at the context. He gave his cheeks. Let's think. Heavenly Father, anoint our minds as we have a brief Bible study, and iron sharpens iron. Let's think of cheeks, family. Now, you can't tell. It's very hard to make me blush. It's very hard to tell if I'm blushing. I'm black. But there's some of my friends and family out there, I can tell when you're blushing. And when you blush, what happens? What happens to the blood? It rushes to your cheeks. When a person feels shame, do their cheeks get red? Their cheeks get red, right? When a person feels shame, what is no longer in their heart at that moment? What is the opposite of shame? Somebody, what was that? That, thank you, praise the Lord, pride. Lord have mercy. Jesus says, I turned the other cheek. Did Christ have the power to destroy everybody? Are you telling me that he took the shame? For who? God is saying there's some things I want you to learn to turn the other cheek. I need you to humble yourself before the mighty hand of the Lord. So part of this peace offering is learning humility. Amen? Learning humility. You know, sometimes when we fail to humble ourselves and we get stirred up and we become a part of the problem, did you know that we can make things worse? Has that ever happened? But did you know how much better it is when you don't say nothing and you let the other person act and look like a fool? Did you know you could sleep easier? Unlike the other person. You see, everything we just went over, God says these things are connected to thy peace, but they can only be done through the power of my spirit. They can only be done by faith. Only be done by faith. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in one body, and be thankful. I believe that's Colossians 3:15. Family, God wants to give us peace. But there are things that we must surrender to Him, amen? And He has given us a blueprint to do it. And if it's your desire to follow that blueprint, stand with me now as we close.